You are listening to Charlotte Real Estate Talk with Pridemore Properties.
Hello, Scott Pridemore here with Mike Hagee for another episode of Charlotte Real Estate Talk. Today, we welcome Scott Curry with Active Transportation Coordinator for the City of Charlotte. Welcome, Scott.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy to be here.
We're so glad that you've come today to give us some insight as to what your day-to-day world looks like as Active Transportation Coordinator with all of the greenways and the bike lanes and parks and the connectivity. We'd like to hear a little bit from you about sort of where we are now and what the plan is for the next 5 years per se.
Sure. Yeah. So it's a big question. There's a lot underway in the city right now, both in terms of capital projects and sort of education and outreach programming efforts we're doing. A big part of my job is managing the city's pedestrian and bicycle programs. And so we get some funding through street improvement bonds that are voted on by the citizens every 2 years. A part of that funding goes towards pedestrian and bike projects. It's actually a pretty relevant conversation right now because the next round of street improvement bonds are up for a vote this November. And so if those bonds are successful, we'll have another $34 million to put into pedestrian and bike projects in and around the city of Charlotte. So we have over 100 active ped and bike projects in some sort of phase of design, real estate acquisition, or planning right now. And so that money would help us to advance those existing projects and begin to program new ones. And that's a big part of my role at the city is managing that and evaluating needs and trying to make connections where we can get them.
It's fantastic that the city of Charlotte is committed to making Charlotte a more bike-friendly and connected city. I am just curious, was someone in your position before you came on board?
So my specific title it's sort of a retooled position. We used to have a Center City program manager. Actually, you just spoke to Vivian Coleman, who is mm-hmm. my supervisor, who was on the podcast a little while ago. She used to be in that Center City position. She was promoted to be the transportation planning section manager for the city. And they rewrote her job description because of this growing need in the active transportation world. Mm-hmm. And so I oversee a pedestrian program coordinator and a bike program coordinator. The three of us together work on active transportation issues for the city. That's really been a growing need that we've heard from our residents. It's something that folks are interested in, walkable neighborhoods, family-friendly, mm-hmm. walkable, bikeable connections. That's something that we hear as a constant refrain from our citizens.
Absolutely. Mike and I, you know, our clients really that come in from other areas of the country that are tuned in to the fact that they do use the parks a lot and they want to live in a connected city or a community that is connected to Uptown or South Park. Mm-hmm. We hear it quite often from folks from the West Coast, New York, Boston, even certain areas in Florida where they already have that.
Right.
And on that note, do you feel like the concerns of the public with respect to how to get a particular community more connected? Are you a contact person for people? Is this something that folks can come to you with an idea?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We'd love to hear more citizen ideas. In fact, we've been working on something called the Charlotte Placemaking Hub recently, which is, it has a tie into the active transportation conversation, but it's really a way for us to be able to say yes more often when people bring us great creative ideas. So you may be familiar in other cities, they do street murals and pop-up parks and things like that. Until about a year and a half ago, we didn't have any way in the city of Charlotte to be able to say yes to people when they brought us those ideas. And so we've developed a set of tools now that can empower residents to do those kinds of placemaking projects in their own neighborhoods and make them more walkable and bikeable. And so, yeah, absolutely. We'd love it when people bring those kinds of ideas our way.
I'm curious, Scott, in terms of walkability and making neighborhoods safe to navigate, for those that aren't as navigable via bike or walking, how do you go into that neighborhood with a fresh idea to make it that way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so retrofitting those types of auto-oriented corridors and neighborhoods is definitely the most challenging thing that we face on a day-to-day basis. Because we're such an auto-oriented city, we're one of those Sunbelt cities that was built around the car. And most of our growth happened in the 50s and 60s before people were thinking about sidewalks and bike lanes and greenways. And so a lot of the bond funding that we get for capital projects goes to retrofit those types of streets and build sidewalks and install bike lanes and make connections to county greenways. The challenging thing is that there's way more need today than we have resources all at once. And so we have to talk to folks. We have to rank and prioritize what connections get us the best bang for the buck and try to make sure that we're being equitable and providing walkability across the city. So that's also a challenging part of the job, to try to make sure you're balancing resources and using taxpayer money as efficiently, being a good steward of those resources.
Very good. What is your department's top priority right now?
So transportation choices is really what we are focused on. The last I heard, we are growing by somewhere between 44 and 60 people a day in Charlotte. We know that there's no way we can widen all our roadways to accommodate everybody in a car. If all those people are moving around in single occupancy vehicles, that's not a winning formula for building walkable, bikeable neighborhoods in the city. And so that means building more transportation choices. So it's working closely with our colleagues at CATS and building out our light rail system. It's working closely with our colleagues at Mecklenburg County Greenways to extend things like the Cross Charlotte Trail. But as a department, really, if you boil down our focus to one thing, it would be transportation choices. And then also safety, obviously, and any transportation choice that somebody makes, we want them to be able to make a safe choice.
What about planting strips for sidewalks? Are they a deal breaker for a lot of people?
I don't think so. No, you know, at one point, building sidewalks in neighborhoods was maybe a more difficult conversation than it is today. I think the same is probably true for greenways. We're getting a lot more folks now who see the value in wide planting strips that buffer sidewalks from car lanes and provide a space for mature street trees. And I think that just contributes to the value of neighborhoods. And maybe folks didn't realize that at one point, but in my experience with the city, planting strips and sidewalks and greenways, those types of things have not been something that's been difficult for us to communicate the value of.
Have you guys noticed where Runnymede comes into Sharon Road, there's a stretch of the planting strip at the sidewalk where there of the someone that lives there, the house that backs right up to it, she has utilized that strip incredibly. I mean, there are plants in there that she's out there maintaining and replanting. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
No, that's great.
And then look on either side, where the other ones are just left to, you know, dust or cut the mower.
Uh-huh.
More and more people should treat that planting strip as something that they could use to beautify the section of sidewalk. It's really interesting. When you're in that, from Runnymede, as it dead ends into Sharon, and you turn right towards South Park, look right immediately, okay, and you'll see it.
Okay.
It's really remarkable compared to anything else that you see in the way of a planting strip.
Great, great. Yeah, I wasn't familiar with that one. I'll have to check it out.
So how do you prioritize where sidewalks are built?
We have a city council adopted policy. It's called our sidewalk installation policy. And it sets out a list of criteria that we use to basically assign points to every sidewalk gap we have in the city. So things like proximity to schools, proximity to parks, proximity to transit, whether or not there's existing curb and gutter. That makes it a lot easier for us to build a sidewalk, because if there's no curb and gutter, then if we go in, it becomes a stormwater and a sidewalk project. So that's one of the criteria. Proximity to elderly care facilities. So we want to make sure we have sidewalks around all of our assisted living and elderly care facilities. There's a range of like 20 different criteria that we use to assign points on a very objective basis. And then each year in January, we look at what's at the top of that list and then sort of go down the list with our available resources and just tick off as many projects as we can. It's a pretty straightforward process, to be honest, and something we're grateful that City Council set that in place a long, long time ago and has been putting resources towards sidewalks for years.
I have a client that has decided not to purchase a home in a particular neighborhood because this the where it is along Providence Road, there are no sidewalks. Hmm. So they're, you know, to get out and walk around or maybe to walk up to the Fresh Market, they have to immediately cross Providence Road there, opposed to being able to step onto a sidewalk and walk up to a traffic light and cross. So they've ruled out this neighborhood. It's between Fairview and Sharon Road, mm-hmm. along Providence Road. Cloister is the name of the neighborhood.
Yep.
There are no sidewalks right there. And it's the only neighborhood like it in town where you think, gee, why don't they put some sidewalks right there? There are probably maybe 150 homes within this community. And, you know, folks, they get out and walk around, but they have to stay in the confines of the neighborhood unless they're willing to brave crossing Providence without a light.
Right. Which is obviously.
So I'm curious if that one has come on your radar.
Yeah. So I know there's maybe just a couple of remaining gaps in the sidewalk network on Providence. We've got, I think, two projects underway right now that are filling some of those gaps. And when we're done, I think there's only like one or two more gaps. But the reason that we have a bunch of those Providence Road projects underway now is because they're sort of rising towards the top of that rankings list. And so it's fairly likely that in the future, the other gaps on Providence will kind of be in a similar position on that rankings list, and they'll get sidewalks as well.
Sure, sure. Do you bike?
I do. Yeah. My wife and I are both bike commuters. We both bike into work every day.
From what area of town?
We live in Wesley Heights.
Yeah. Okay. You don't have to bike far.
No, it's like a 2 mile ride for me, a mile for her because she's in the Gateway area. So she's got a sweet bike commute. I'm jealous of her ride to work.
Yeah. With days like this morning and today with the sun, oh man, I wish I could be on a bike.
Yeah, I know. Beautiful.
It's a little bit more difficult for us to bike commute. Yeah. I've got an idea, actually, about doing bicycle tours in certain neighborhoods,
mm-hmm.
like on a Saturday morning, and, you know, get a tour together, and anyone that, in you know, you promote it in advance, anyone that wants to go out and look at homes in Dilworth between, you know, let's say like 9 and 11 on a Saturday morning, we'll get everybody there on a bike, and we'll go look at 6 or 8 properties.
So now, are you all in the south part of town?
Well, we're both. We have a south office and a north office.
Gotcha.
Yep, South Park and Huntersville specifically.
So there's, I know, a couple of things in the works that will make bike commuting from that sort of southern part of town a lot easier in the near future. The Cross Charlotte Trail project that y'all have probably heard of, mm-hmm. it's a 26-mile trail that follows the Little Sugar Creek alignment through the south part of town. There's a gap right now between Brandywine and Tyvola, kind of right there behind Park Road Shopping Center going south to Tyvola. That's in design right now and should be under construction sometime in 2019. And so that'll extend basically from uptown all the way south past 45 into Pineville, a separated trail network.
Wow. So so the current greenway, when it ends at Brandywine, mm-hmm. it'll connect along parallel to Selwyn Avenue, right?
That's right. Yeah, it'll continue to follow the creek there under that Brandywine Bridge and go all the way to the segment that the county just finished up at Tyvola.
That'll be neat. Yeah,
it's gonna be awesome.
It'll be really great. And then the other project that I think is going to be really exciting is a two-way separated cycle track facility east to west through Uptown on 6th Street. That's one that'll connect Little Sugar Creek Greenway on the east to Irwin Park, Irwin Creek Greenway area on the west. And really strengthen those greenways as not just sort of recreational infrastructure, but transportation infrastructure for commuting. So it's going to be a really powerful set of connections when those are all finished.
Fantastic. Yeah. Exciting news.
That's pretty cool. I'm curious, since you bike commute, but are there any other hidden gems that you like to frequent, you and your wife, on the off time?
Oh, hidden gems. So a big part of the reason why we decided to live in Wesley Heights is because there's the Stewart Irwin Creek Greenway system that goes through that neighborhood. We just had an event last month called Open Streets 704, which is a program that we have twice a year. Basically, the idea is we close down around 4 miles of city streets and turn it into a giant public park for a day. So it's called Open Streets because it's open to all sorts of cool stuff that you wouldn't be able to do when there's cars running around on the road. And for this last program, we used a section of Greenway, which was sort of a new thing for us. It's usually on streets. And the section of Greenway we used was a segment that goes through Wesley Heights, kind of out to the Five Points West End area. And we heard a lot of feedback from folks who said that they didn't realize that system was back there, and if they'd known about it, they'd been using it for years. And so that's the kind of thing we love to hear when we do these education and outreach events, that folks are learning about our bikeway and pedestrian infrastructure that maybe encourages them to use it and consider making different transportation choices.
Good answer. Good question.
Yeah.
Yeah. I need to get out there and check that out.
It's beautiful.
It sounds pretty cool.
It is. It is. Yeah. It's just over there on the west side of town. Basically dead ends at Blue Blaze Brewery too. So not a bad nice. Ride on a Saturday afternoon.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With an incentive at the end of the ride.
Right. Yeah. Well, very good. Scott, thank you so much for joining us for our podcast here with Mike Hagee. I'm Scott Pridemore. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Listen, download our podcast, or find out more about Charlotte Real Estate at pridemoreproperties.com.